This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Glenn the Geek back in Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October the 7th, episode 2284. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World. Well, Jamie is at home recovering from her long trip, and we'll be back here again on Wednesday. Jennifer and I made it home safely on Saturday, and it was fun to actually have a day off, my first one in a while yesterday. That was kind of nice. We have some things coming up in the next 2 months. One of them being Holiday Radiothon. Believe it or not, it's only 2 months away on December the 2nd. So I need you all start thinking about the funniest or sneakiest thing your horse ever did for your entries for prizes. Start thinking of songs, poems. What can you do with the funniest or sneakiest thing your horse ever did? We'll also have the results from the Thoroughbred Makeover for you on Wednesday. Jamie's back then. And tomorrow, Karen is here with the Endurance episode. So kind of back to normal here for the next couple of months here on the Horses in the Morning show. Tonight, there's a special thing going on in the Auditor Room at 7 p.m. We are doing an Auditor exclusive Facebook Live with Pam Stone, comedian, dressage rider. You might remember her from Coach. She was one of the coaches in Coach, the female basketball coach. And she's also a comedian, travels the country. I'm excited just to hang out with Pam. And if you're an auditor, please join us at 7 p.m. tonight or watch it later on. It'll be in the Auditor Room on Facebook. But first, we do have some birthdays today.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to auditors Felicia Pandorf and Nikki Lambert and everyone I missed last week. And I apologize. I know I seem to miss the same people every year because we're traveling the same weeks every year. But I do apologize if I missed you last week. Happy birthday to all of you. We really appreciate your support by being an auditor. You too can become an auditor for as little as $3 a month. Head on over to horseradionetwork.com and click on the auditor banner on the right side of the page. Also want to thank Jeff from Omega Alpha Equine, who took a bunch of us out to dinner the other night. Thank you so much, Jeff. It's always good hanging around with you. Jeff has a great sense of humor and is very funny. I loved hearing about his 91-year-old neighbor. That was a lot of fun. Also today on the show, I thought we'd get you in the mood for Holiday Radiothon coming up on December the 2nd by playing you some of the best of the past interviews. And I only had to go back to 2015 and 2016, which is a long time ago already, to bring you some of the best interviews from those years, and it's five of them. We have Charlie Daniels and Bob Baffert from 2015. Then we have Christian Busch and Martin Clunes from 2016. So I think you're going to enjoy all of these interviews. It'll bring back some memories of Radiothon's past and also start getting you thinking about what you're going to enter for this year. And I know it's early, but you know what? Christmas decorations are already out. Why shouldn't we be early too? Plus, these were just terrific interviews, whether it was the holidays or not. So remember, this year's theme is the funniest or sneakiest thing your horse ever did. And if you have multiple horses, pick one. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which horse. We don't care. So think about those entries. And pretty soon, I think in the next week, you're going to see the form and the announcement to go ahead and get your entries in for this year's Radiothon. Thank you, everybody. If you're a company out there that wants to donate a prize, or if you're an individual that makes stuff and you want to donate a prize for Holiday Radiothon, please email me, Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn, two N's, at horseradionetwork.com. So now we're going to hear from Omega Alpha Equine, and then we're going to go into the interviews from past Radiothons, starting with the first interview we ever did on a Radiothon, Charlie Daniels.
My bone connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. The leg bone connected to the foot
bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, I would like to introduce and welcome a man that I am a huge fan of. He's a musician, singer, and songwriter known for his contributions to country, bluegrass, and southern rock music. Perhaps known for one country hit, maybe you've heard of it, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, and multiple other songs that he has written and performed with. He's performed with names like Elvis Presley, Bob Dylan. He was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry on January 24th, 2008, and the Musicians Hall of Fame and Museum in 2009. He is the Grammy-winning artist, Charlie Daniels of the Charlie Daniels Band.
Well, hi, Charlie. Welcome to our special. We're so happy to have you as our first guest today.
Well, I'm honored to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Now, Glenn, let me stop you. You do not address him as Charlie. You address him as Mr. Daniels, okay?
No. You're wrong. No, Charlie. Everybody, even little kids call me Charlie. I prefer it.
Okay.
My daddy's name is Mr. Daniels, and I never forgot that, but I'm Charlie.
Well, you know why I think I can call him Charlie is because I saw you at the Grand Ole Opry for the first time at the Ryman Auditorium. So anybody that sees you there can call you Charlie, in my opinion.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, anybody didn't see me there in comedy show.
So let me ask you this. With your tour schedule, which is incredible, do you still get time to get back to Twin Pines Ranch and the horses and ride and do all that?
I don't do as much as I used to. I haven't roped in a long time. I used to do a lot of team roping. But of course, age has something to do with that, too. I'm not as able to just get up in the morning, go jump on a horse and stay all day as I used to be. But I still enjoy getting on. I got a couple of nice old using horses that I say old, they're not so old, but the boys are pretty careful about what they let me ride anymore. I'm in Leroy here. You know, they got one busted down pretty good before I get on him. And I do get a chance to ride. We'll go out and I'll get together with guys. We'll go out and spend a while riding once in a while up there. I still enjoy it very much.
Now, this special is all about everybody's favorite horsey holiday memories at Christmas time. Did you get to spend a lot of Christmases at the ranch? Would you go out and ride? Was that part of the tradition?
I'm always going to be home at Christmas time. That's the one thing. I'm going to have all my people. I got a lot of married people with kids and grandkids with me. And I'm going to be there, and they're going to be there at Christmas. If no other time of the year, we're going to be there at Christmas, always. And I used to do quite a bit of riding around Christmas time because that was my time off. And I would get together with the guys and go out and ride. Cold weather riding's fun, you know. You bundle up real good. I remember one time I came home from Hawaii, and my time was all boogered up like it always is when you come out of those time zones, and I had laid down and took a nap, and I woke up, it was just starting to get twilight, and it was snowing, and I said, I got to get on a horse, so I called down the barn. I said, you guys got anything to do in the back pasture, and y'all will come up with something. I said, how about selling me up something? Sell up old fat guy, I'll be down in a minute. I did, and we rode back, and riding when it's snowing, I mean, not a blizzard, but when it's just kind of, you know, when snow's kind of coming down and you hear the horse's hooves kind of padding on top of it, and that is a wonderful experience. Anybody's never done it, I'll highly recommend it.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. Now, do you live, do you have a house at the ranch, or is the house separate?
Oh, yeah.
Ranch? Yeah? Okay.
No. I live on the ranch.
That's
my home. I've been there for 35 years, something like that now.
Tell us about the ranch. I'm curious to know, where is it, and tell us a little bit about what goes on there.
It's in Wilson County, Tennessee, about 30 miles east of Nashville, off of Interstate 40.
Yeah.
As far as what goes on there, we have been through several phases. Our main interest was horses for quite a long time. And we went through, using horses, basically roping horses and that sort of thing. And we got into cutting horses pretty heavy for a while. Did a lot of breeding down at the Ken Ranch and had some really good cutting blood on our place. But basically now we are actually more into cattle, into horned Herefords right now than we are horses. We keep horses. We still stand in a stud, and we're still dealing in horses, but we raise a lot of cattle. Cattle prices have gone up, as I'm sure you're aware of, tremendously here the last little while, so we get into them. So we'll always have some horses, always have some good horses around.
Did your kids get into it?
Oh, yeah, my son did. My whole family did, my wife and myself. And, in fact, even before we had the ranch, we got into horseback riding. We used to have to lease, well, not so much lease, but just rent a place to keep them, to board them. We used to board them. And that's one of the main things that we went looking for, our own place, with some acreage. That was one of the main things that we wanted. We wanted some place to go and ride our horses. And before we even moved to Twin Pines, there was a double wide trailer out there. And we used to go out and spend the weekend there and ride. That was a big deal with my whole family.
So you married well, then. You got a woman that'll spend her weekend in a double wide. She must like horses.
Oh, yeah. She'll spend a weekend anywhere. I mean, I'm the same with her. We've been married 51 years, so
we get along
pretty good.
Yeah, I would say. And I bet horses and having the ranch and having the family around really, really helps all of that, too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a great way for us to spend time together. Of course, at the time, we didn't think so much about it. It was just a natural part of our lives. It's what we all enjoyed doing, is make sure everybody had a good riding horse and, just go out and saddle up and ride around the property and enjoy ourselves. But it was just such a natural thing for us to do. We didn't think about it so much as recreation as we did. It was just part of our lives.
It's a lifestyle, absolutely. Now, I gotta thank you, because for two reasons. I'm a Georgia-born girl. I grew up in Georgia, and I'm now in an Air Force family. And obviously, I think to enter the high school system in Georgia...
She's understating it. Her husband is an F-16 fighter pilot, so...
Mercy.
Yes, he's really cool. But what I was going to say, Glenn, is that to enter the high school system in Georgia, you actually have to recite and sing all lyrics from Devil Went Down to Georgia. So I passed that test. And I could still do it. I knew you were coming on. It's been in my head for days. You just you don't get into school if you don't you don't have any friends if you don't know every lyric to Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Mercy. Where's your husband stationed, by the way?
We're in Phoenix, Arizona right now. There's no riding in the snow here, but we hope to retire. When he retires, we'll be going to Oklahoma. We already bought about 12 acres there, so we're ready to do what you're doing.
I'm married to an Okie. My wife's from Tulsa.
She's from Tulsa?
She's from Tulsa. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
my son was born at Hillcrest Medical Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
No kidding.
I got to deep roots in Oklahoma. Oh, yeah, we used to live there. We were married there, like I said, 51 years ago. So,
oh, my gosh.
Deep roots in Oklahoma.
No kidding. Happy anniversary. We're just going to have to be best friends now, because obviously we have so much in common.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to thank you, too, for all that you do for the troops. I know you're really supportive of our military, and I do appreciate that.
Well, it is an honor to support our military. I've done it all my life. I was 5 years old when Pearl Harbor was bombed, and my formative years were during the Second World War. And the war was very serious to us, because I lived on a seaport town, and we had shipping going over to Europe to the war effort, and they were sunk just off our coast by German U-boats, and sometimes it was so close, I never saw it, but I've heard some of the grown people said that it was so close at times you could see the fires of battle from our beaches. So we took the war very seriously. We never knew what the Nazis might try to bring it on shore, and I learned, I say this every night to the crowd, I learned very early in my life that only two things protect America, and that's the grace of God and the United States military. It's that way then. It'll be that way, it's that way now, and it will be that way as long as we remain a free and sovereign nation. So I'm very beholden to the military. I always have been, always will be.
Well, I just appreciate you showing that to them as well. But I got to ask you, being you're a Grammy Award winning singer. You must have a favorite Christmas song that you sing with the family. I don't know, at Christmas time, you sing it to your grandkids, anything like that?
I don't so much sing, but a song that has been part of my wife will put, we have Christmas records. I've got three Christmas records out, so we play them. But
they get to hear you record.
Always, yeah, always been part of Christmas in our house is Nat King Cole's Christmas song, the Chestnut Roasting song. I can't imagine Christmas without it. It's just natural. I mean, to walk in a house and she does an incredible job at decorating. She has five Christmas trees, and she just really gets into it. And it's just we're a very traditional family. We have traditions that we do year after year, and one of them is, you know, doing a lot of decorating and putting the music on and listening to it. And that song, if I had to name one song, it would probably be that one.
Wow.
I always wondered if a family like of an artist like yourself, of a singer and a musician, if those families sit around the tree at Christmas time and actually sing Christmas songs, or does that not happen because you're tired of singing?
Well, it's not because we get tired of singing. I just don't. It's just not something we particularly do. I mean, yeah. We break out to sing a song or something, but not in any kind of an organized way or anything.
Right.
You know, it's
okay.
Not really part of our Christmas tradition to sing, you know, sing gospel songs. Going to church on Christmas Eve always is.
Yeah.
We go to early service on Christmas Eve, and we come back, and we get back home. Our early service starts about 4 in the afternoon or something. We get back home. We always have a bunch of people over for Christmas Eve, and something we've been doing for a lot of years. That's part of our tradition, and you know, just things that we do year after year after year, and it just wouldn't seem like Christmas time without them.
So I've got to ask you, Charlie, Mr. Daniels, so if I've got a 2-year-old and he's just 2.5 now, so we're starting to realize that he's going to start to understand what Christmas is. And what do you think the one most important tradition that you guys do is? Because my husband and I are trying to kind of start to figure out what we're going to do on a yearly basis. What really means a lot to your family?
Having your son. Is it a boy, you said?
It's a little boy, son? Yes, sir.
Okay, teaching your son what the true meaning of Christmas is. It's the birth of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't teach him, he's not going to know. The world's not going to teach him, but that's what it's about. That's what we try to remember at my house. That's what we try to keep first and foremost is this is the celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing this for, no matter what anybody else wants to call it. If they want to say Merry Christmas or not, or they want to, whatever they want to do, we will follow our traditions and we will follow our beliefs. And the truth of the matter is this is Christ's birthday, so let's keep that first and foremost. It's the most important thing you can teach him.
I don't think we can add anything to that. Thank you, Charlie Daniels, for joining us and leading off our horsey holiday celebration for 12 hours live today. We appreciate you stopping by, and I hope you get a ride in this year on Christmas.
Thank you so much. God bless, and Merry Christmas.
I saw three horses come running in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three horses come running in on Christmas Day in the morning. They want to listen to Glenn and Jamie on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Oh, what I want to listen to, horses in the morning.
Well, he needs no introduction, but I'll do it anyway. Bob Baffert just achieved the greatest accomplishment in racing by training the thoroughbred American Pharoah and winning the 2015 Belmont Stakes, capping the third jewel of that elusive Triple Crown, right? The first to do so in 37 years. Bob's trained 4 Kentucky Derby winners, 6 Preakness Stakes winners, and 2 each of the Belmont Stakes and the Kentucky Oaks winners. This year, Bob and American Pharoah won the 141st Kentucky Derby, bringing the total number of victories in the Derby to 4. So when American Pharoah won the 2015 Belmont Stakes, the win was the 4th attempt at a Triple Crown for Mr. Baffert. And then American Pharoah became the first Triple Crown champion to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, too, with a wire-to-wire win on October 30th, 2015 at Keeneland. American Pharoah is one of the leading contenders for Sports Illustrated's 2015 Sportsman of the Year. So go vote, because there is no other display of sportsmanship in 2015 that even came close to what Ahmad Zayat and Bob Baffert did for American Pharoah. Please listen to Bob Baffert.
And I want to say right before this gets started, we pre-recorded this, and this is only a part of it. This is about half of the total interview. And
that's
when
right.
will they be able to listen to the other half?
That we will put up December 15th. I'm so okay. excited.
So that'll be on the Horsemanship Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network on December 15th. Is that correct?
That's right. Horsemanshipradio.com. And that is with IFA.com and Omega Fields as our sponsors. Thank you. Well, welcome, Bob Baffert. I'm excited to have you on Horsemanship Radio on the Horse Radio Network, and we feel very privileged. It's been an exciting year.
It's been a very exciting year, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll remember this. I love when people start with those lines, but we met on the day that Dad, Monty Roberts, was racing a 6-year-old Sabiango who had just won the Charles Whittingham Memorial Handicap at Hollywood Park. And that day, there was a young jockey named Tyler Bays up top. I don't remember that.
You're going back now, but I remember that was a beautiful horse. I think he was from Germany or
yep.
something.
That's right. That's right.
He was a really nice horse, beautiful horse, and I remember Tim Yakteen, who helped get him ready for me. I give him most of the credit there because he did all the work with him, my assistant.
Yes, yeah, he was very pleased that day. It was a great win, and it was, you know, Charles Whittingham had a warm place in our heart too. So that whole thing was a nice triumph. But I want to get into. It's the Christmas season here, and we are in the midst of a radiothon, and we're doing some things to give some prizes away. And you and your wife, Jill, have donated to several charities, and I just want to honor you in that. Following the American Pharoah's Triple Crown triumph, I know that you guys have committed, you donated, I think, $50,000, some crazy number like that, to the charities like Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance and the California Retirement Aftercare Account and the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund, Old Friends, one of my favorites, Old Friends Farm in Kentucky, too. I appreciate you doing that, you and Jill, for your commitment to giving back.
Well, you know, this business has been so good to us, and so we just felt, you know, if you can afford to do it, we're in a position where, well, we want to give back, and those, you know, the horse organizations, you know, we need to be more responsible. Back when I was growing up, you know, we really didn't think about things like that. Now it's like, it's like the main topic in our industry. You know, we have to take care of these horses when they're done, you know, off the racetrack. So it's really working out well. There's some really good farms out there, and these horses are finding homes, and it's pretty difficult these days to find homes for them, but we're just glad to be part of it.
Thank you. Well, thank you for doing that. I know that that's really been keen in the list of things that people like to see grow in the industry, so thanks for being a leader in that and making that commitment. Yeah, I know you grew up on a family farm, like 240 acres near the Mexican border in Arizona with 7 children, is that right?
Yes, it was in Nogales, Arizona. Grew up like 3 miles north of the border.
Wow.
And it's been very, it was a great experience growing up on a ranch and growing up around horses, cows, chickens. And, you know, we at a young age, we were all giving responsibilities to care for the animals. So you learn a lot, you know, when you you know, when you're responsible for animals at a young age, you learn, you know, how to deal with them, because if you don't feed them, no, they're not going to get fed. So it was a great learning experience.
Yeah, well, your parents must have been amazing. It's Bill and Ellie is what I read, and do you still have them? Are they still with us?
No, they're not with us, unfortunately. They passed a few years ago, and that's why I was very emotional during the old Triple Crown run, because, you know, it was sort of sad that they weren't around to see it, and my mother, you know, she always told me I was going to win the Triple Crown, and they were there for the other one, but that's the only thing. I just wish they hadn't been around to see it, but I'm sure they were watching from above.
I think
they were sort of helping out.
I think so. I like to think that whole, they're still with us that way, if they felt that was a real dream. How is it growing up with seven children in the Baffert family? Were you all into the horses and the animals?
Well, we are, when there's seven of us and our television kept on, we had this antenna, I remember, out in the fields, and the cows kept knocking it down. So sometimes we didn't have television for long periods of time. So we had to entertain ourselves. So we entertained each other, the middle children. I was number four. So I usually hung out with my number five brother. And so we just found ways to, when you're on a ranch, you can go out and do whatever you want. And my parents would take us to Mission Beach for the summers and drop us off and go back to work. And he worked really hard. My parents really worked hard. So we had a great childhood. We grew up the right way. And my father taught us from a young age the responsibility. We have to be very responsible, and that's really stuck to me all these years.
Mm-hmm. And you have a strong work ethic, and you seem to have imparted that to the people that work around you that work too, which is great. I think that's why you're highly respected. I don't know anybody that's dealt with animals to the length of a career as yours that isn't as strong, doesn't have a strong work ethic. So I'm sure you're passing that on to Bodie. Am I right?
Well, hopefully, you know, when you grow up around animals in a ranch, it's 7 days a week, so when you're used to something like that, it's not, you know, a lot of people, they want to take the weekends off, and I don't know if Bodie wants to be a horse trainer. He wants to be a meteorologist and work giving out weather. He's really into weather. Matter of fact, after the Triple Crown, he did the weather with the Weather Channel. He was Sam Champion, so that was pretty cool. He was very excited about that.
So with you and Bodie and Jill, are there any family holiday traditions that you remember from your time in your family that you've carried on now to these days?
Not really, because we do a lot of traveling now that we're, Jill and Bodie, we go to these races, and so we just sort of live a totally different life than I did when I was growing up. Especially when you grow up in a quiet little town like Nogales, Arizona, there's not a lot to do. But now, living in Southern California, it's just the hustle bustle, and it's a totally different style of living. And so I've adapted to Southern California the last 40 years I've been here.
I couldn't miss asking you a few questions about your training abilities. Your dad said that you always had, I read where he was quoted as saying that you always had something special with horses, and that you read them well, you work with them well. And, I've lived long enough to see that champions make champions generally because their horses love them. And I read quotes that you had said too, that you love your horses, and that if you love your horses, they respond. So you have to love your horse. So tell me about American Pharoah. I mean, every champion has something special and unique between his trainer and him, I think. And so what's something about American Pharoah that makes that relationship special for you?
American Pharoah was, when he first came, he was a little bit rambunctious. He was wanting to do too much. He wanted to go too fast, too early. So we had to work with him to quiet him down a little bit. And his first race was sort of disastrous. He, going to the paddock, he was just a mess. He really wasn't handling it well. With the blinkers, he was tough in the warm-up. With the pony, going to the gate, he got in the gate. He tried to act up in the gate, broke, stepped slow, made the lead, then just stopped. And just it was just a bad out, you know, just not a good experience for him. And I was really disappointed because I really thought, you know, we were hoping he was the next coming. We're always hoping that we're going to have the next
right.
Big horse. And I've been fortunate to have all these big horses, so we're disappointed is out. But then after that, we took the blinkers off, we schooled him a lot, and we noticed that he was real sensitive to sound. Mm-hmm. I remember we were schooling him in the morning, and it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, walking over to Del Mar, and somebody turned on a tractor, mm-hmm. And he just spooked. The noise got him, so we decided to put some cotton in his ears, maybe try him with that. And then from then on, he was very quiet. It pacified him somehow. And so I eventually got these little earplugs that I ordered online, these little sheepskin earplugs for like $6.95.
Really?
And he's made $8 million of those earplugs since then, so it was pretty good. It was a good investment.
I can see it now. Bob Baffert earplugs. You get to endorse those things.
You know what? Well, I got it. Somebody asked me the other day. I got a call from some guy had there's some friend that was a barrel racer, and mm-hmm. her horses needs some kind of plugs, want to know what kind I use. So they want to know what my secret plugs
yeah.
were. Like, it's just easy. Just on the web there, you can buy them.
Yeah. Behavioral genius. Now. Oh, they've dropped. Yeah, well, the use of them has gone up, so it's a quantity thing.
I actually tried. I contacted the people who make them. I said, I just want you to realize that this horse, Triple Crown horse, is using your earplugs. Like, no, so they leave. But they yeah. just really said, "Oh, thanks. It's good
oh,
to
thanks.
Know. Like, no biggie."
I have no idea. Well, what I loved about that you said, I think this is what you want to see in every thoroughbred, that he always looks like he's having fun out there. And you talk about his ears twitching. And I just love hearing that because that means everybody's in your team is doing something right. You're feeding him well. He's fit. And they can't be having fun if not everything's put together. So I appreciate you bringing that champion on like that. And that you said every time you run him, he shows a new dimension. Were those dimensions behavioral, or was it that he was just stronger each time?
Well, you know what? He really changed physically from January to March. He got longer. He came mm-hmm. told he was like a short coupled horse, had a short back, and then he got longer. In the last 2 months, he grew up, stretched out, and but his stride is what really mm-hmm. set him apart. His mechanics, his fluid stride, mm-hmm. really, he jumped a long way, and he did it without really having to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quick. He was quick on his feet. And so, but he had a great mind. He had a nice, smart head. He's got a soft eye. He's just a mm-hmm. very, and a sweet, loving horse. He was mm-hmm. he would put your head in your lap. He was spoiled rotten. He was he's one of those, like, when you brought him out and you go to take him back to the stall, he didn't want to go back to the stall. He wanted to stay out there and enjoy a little bit longer. And he was pretty pampered and spoiled, but when he came down to train, he really enjoyed training in that. And I think that's very important for these horses. Mm-hmm. They have to enjoy what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you could tell when he got out there and galloped, or if he breathed, he had those ears forward, you know, happy. When you see those ears clicking forward, you know your horse is happy. And every time we worked him, he never had a bad work. He always had a really good work. And so it's very rare. Sometimes you'll breathe a horse and you won't be happy with it. He was always, there was never a bad work. He was just, mm-hmm. spot on every time we breathe them.
I appreciate you giving us this time. It's a crazy year, and you could put your time in a lot of different places instead of us. So thank you again for being our guest today, and I hope we get to talk to you down the road. Yeah, thanks, Bob. Bob Baffert.
All right.
All I want for Christmas is my own pony with sparkly hooves underneath my tree. Gee, if I could only have my own pony, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. You know, last year you dropped the ball. You brought a doll with pretty shoes and curls. I flung it in the fireplace. Why can't you understand that I'm a horse girl? So all I want for Christmas is my own pony, a saddle too, and weather beat up, please. Gee, if I could only have my own pony, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
Well, it's the holiday season, and it is the time where we, reconnect, I guess. It's been a couple years since I've talked to our next guest, and I'm... Just to give you a brief background, Glenn, Christian Bush and I became friends when I was 18 years old. I actually had been stalking him for 2 years prior to that. I got a fake ID so I could go to Billy Pilgrim shows. That was a band he was in, a band called Billy Pilgrim. And Christian had this long blonde hair and these big blue eyes. And he was in a band with this tall, dark, and handsome guy. And I was their number one fan. Excuse me. Went to all the shows I could. And when I became 18, I started working for them selling CDs. And as I got older, genius me, right? Because I'm that girl. Well, who do I date in the band? The other guy. Who's the other guy? Who's the other guy? Exactly. You don't know. However, the one I didn't date went on to super famous international stardom in a band called Sugarland. And fortunately, that relationship ended and we remained friends. So that's the good thing that came out of it. So we welcome to the show Christian Bush. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Jamie. How are you?
That's been the story of her life, Christian.
Hey.
I've never really heard her say it out loud in like less than a paragraph. That was great.
I could have gone on, but I figured I'd keep it short. We're, you know, on a time crunch here. You don't have all day.
That's perfect.
Well, fortunately, we did remain friends, and part of my Christmas holidays every year for Christmas, usually on December 23rd, Christian and I would go Christmas shopping, and
we would.
Yeah. And for some reason we always on that day, every single year would go Christmas shopping. And then it got to the point where all of a sudden I wasn't the only person who was with him. Like all of a sudden he's famous. And so we really haven't gone Christmas shopping since you got super famous. You don't need to be mobbed in the mall or whatever, but that's definitely one of my better holiday memories that I have. And I don't even know. I mean, I guess you remember that.
Of course I do. Why don't we keep doing that? Except that, yeah, it's kind of hard for me now. But yeah. It doesn't mean we can't, like, sit in somebody's living room and, like, tear up the internet and go Christmas shopping online.
Amazon. Amazon.
Exactly. Little drunk shop and never hurt anybody.
I know, right? Well, that was some of the best times ever for sure. And I do remember the one time we're in the mall together and we're walking around Lenox Square Mall and you said to me, not to be whatever, but just to let you know, I got my first check from Sugarland and I can pretty much buy anything. Okay, you're super cool now.
It was a weird feeling, you know, like to have a job where you get paid nothing forever and you're doing the same job you were doing the day before and they paid you a check that had more zeros than I've ever seen in my whole life. And, you know, we never took advances. So in the music business, they can either pay you up front or you can wait to see if you win. And if you win, they pay you all of it at the end, you know. And I totally remember that trip shopping.
Yeah, it was very memorable. That's for sure. Well, In the years that we've been friends, what I wanted to know, because this is the Horse Radio Network, I wanted to know if you remember meeting my horse.
I do. And I was really confused because it was inside of a city.
Yeah. So
you were like, here, meet my horse. And I was like, well, but this is your house. You live inside Atlanta, in metro Atlanta. Why do you have a horse in your house?
She keeps them in the living room still. They're still in the living room.
No, we should have known then what was going to happen to you.
The backstory on that is I was about to move to Kentucky the next morning, and Christian had come to say goodbye. And instead of driving way outside the perimeter of Atlanta to go pick up my horse and then drive back in and move to Kentucky, I just went and got him and put him in my backyard, which was my mom's like pool area. And this guy comes over and you must have thought I was the craziest person on the planet.
Well, I mean, you were definitely unique.
You're so polite. Now, Christian, you are the country Christmas guy. You have written more Christmas songs. And I remember 15 years ago, you put out a Christmas album. Are you still doing that?
Oh, I try to put out as much Christmas music as possible whenever I can do it. You know, I kind of love Christmas music because I'm already kind of a hopeless romantic, sappy type character. And and with Christmas music, you can even double down on that. Like, you can just go straight for making people cry.
Yes. What is Christmas like for you, by the way? Walk me through your day.
My Christmas is you know, I'm sentimental. So I still have a tree. You know, I'm not crazy enough to have, like, more than one tree yet. You know, some people do that now. They're like, oh, we got to have a tree that's decorated like this and a tree like that.
In every room.
But yeah, in every room. Now, that's not me, but I bought the house that I live in squarely for the fireplace and squarely so that I could only use it during Christmas. Which, by the way, has anybody else thought how weird that is? Like, you're burning the tree and you're looking at the tree. It's like... It's like eating a chicken and egg biscuit. It's weird. But I love waking up. I make my kids get up and hang out in pajamas and open presents. And then I sleep. It's a mandatory nap in the middle of the day. And, you know, since I've had kids, I stopped traveling great distances to see family. I make them travel great distances to see me.
So do you have a favorite holiday Christmas food?
Ooh, my favorite holiday Christmas food. I think it has morphed over time. I used to be, and I don't know if anybody else likes this, but I used to really like that egg custard, which is somewhere between pudding and a milkshake. And it's not really eggnog, but it's a little bit stronger.
Okay, that does sound gross. Is there any alcohol in it? I hope not.
No.
Okay.
But
good.
You don't need the sugar will get you so high that you won't even know what to do with yourself. But so I'm a big fan of that. In the last number of years, I've been sent from Wisconsin the strudels, the Christmas strudels, from a friend of mine, and I didn't think I would like them, but now I do. Now this is like Christmas, like the 500 level class. This is not like, oh, I like the cinnamon rolls or the whatever on Christmas morning. No, this is heavy duty. This is, you get like, you need cold brew coffee to go with it just to stay alive.
That's funny. And do you have a favorite Christmas drink, alcoholic drink?
And song. I want to know his favorite Christmas song.
Yeah, Christmas song. Well, my favorite Christmas drink is probably, an old fashioned, but that's pretty much my drink.
Oh my God, are you 80? I don't know anybody that has my parents didn't even drink old fashions. My grandparents did.
You know what? I'm going to help you right now.
Okay.
Because you don't. Yeah, I'm going to help you. What you're going to do is on Christmas Eve, once you're done putting together all the things you need to put together, You are then going to make yourself an old fashioned with one giant ice cube. You're going to sit next to the fire, and you're going to look at the Christmas tree, and you're going to listen to Nat King Cole, side one of his Christmas record. And you're going to die because you're so happy.
All will be right with your world, Glenn.
That's right. Or I'll be passed out, one or the other.
Now, is it wrong of me to ask, because I'm sure I'm not the only girl, what the hell is an old-fashioned?
Go ahead. Explain it to her.
An old-fashioned is a low-ball glass, right? It's a bourbon drink. So it's Kentucky bourbon. I like to drink Woodford.
Good man.
And they have one ice cube in it. And it has a little bit of bitters, and then you have the peel of an orange that you then kind of put a lighter to and get it to burn just a little bit. And then you rub the orange around the rim of the glass and drop the orange in it, the orange peel. And
see, Glenn,
so it tastes like bourbon. It's a bourbon drink. It's awesome.
Honest to God, this is something our great-grandparents drank. Well,
no, but see, this is what happens when you get rich and famous. You have a bartender come into your house and burn orange peels and put them in your drink. That's all I heard was, and then, James, make me another old-fashioned.
You know, my wife and I spent years trying to figure out what the hell are bitters anyway. I mean, we just could never quite figure out what bitters were. I mean, I know what they are, but I didn't know what they were. You know what I mean?
You just buy a bottle of it, right?
You buy a bottle of it. It's like, well, what do they grow on trees? Where do you get bitters? You know, it's like.
Now, Christian, let me move to the country song. Tell our Christmas song. What's your favorite Christmas song? I got to keep Glenn on track here.
My favorite Christmas song, strangely enough, is Frosty the Snowman. I have never recorded Frosty the Snowman. I don't know why, but it is one of my favorite Christmas songs. And that's a really simple, weird answer, but that's the truth. I write a lot of Christmas songs, so and none of them are as good as Frosty. But they each have their own special charm.
Gotcha. That was not the answer I was expecting, but I'll take it.
What were you expecting?
I don't know.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Billy Pilgrim did a version of "O Come All Ye Faithful" one time, and I think that one was stuck with me.
Ah, yes. We also did a really great First Noel.
That's true. Didn't you sing that at like some basketball game or something? I don't know. At Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
We totally did.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool. We put out a Christmas record at Sugarland, and they gave us a Christmas special, and it's still running today. Like, I think Jennifer does it again, and I think she did it a couple weeks ago. But you know, you get obsessed with that kind of the temperature. You know, Christmas music is always meant to be in the background. It's never meant to be in the foreground. You know, it's what you put on while you're engaging in doing the things you do around Christmas. You don't sit down and go, "Ooh, listen to this," right? But what's awesome about Christmas music is that it's the most memorable music ever. Mm-hmm. You know, they were always written in June or July because the writers and the artists had to record them then in order to get them released in October so that they were on the radio or on the shelves to be purchased in December. So it's very interesting to me every time you hear a Christmas song to close your eyes and imagine what swimming pool, you know, these people will decide.
I think I spoke to you one time. I called you or we were talking and you're like, "Yeah, just writing Christmas music. It's July."
Yeah, it is. And my newest favorite one was the one I did last year. I wrote it with a country singer named Chris Young. And a couple other friends of mine, and I had brought in this idea that, you know, sometimes Christmas can be stressful because you have your family around you, and maybe you don't always have your family around you, so suddenly they can stress you out completely. And there's a point usually in a family gathering like that where suddenly people just start drinking. just to provide a little bit of buffer between each other. you know, and you inevitably slip on the banana peel, you know, and somebody says something they shouldn't or does something they shouldn't do. And it's just the story of every single family. So we wrote that song last year. It's called Thinking About Drinking for Christmas.
And we'll be playing that shortly just for fun.
Yes.
See?
Obviously, Sugarland, internationally famous monster country band, and you guys have taken a break. Jennifer had a kid. What's going on with you guys?
Well, Jennifer had a kid and got married again.
Yes.
And I joke that it's sometimes it's like two kids. She did and is raising a family and decided she wanted to go. And as you remember way back when, go back and start singing by herself the way she was when I met her and kind of auditioned her into Sugarland. She wanted to go take a stab at it again. And she's had a couple of albums of that. And those are kind of coming to a close here pretty soon, I think. And, you know, I think it's about time for some more Sugarland music.
We all agree.
Here, here. All right. Well, you heard it here first.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, I think that we have two albums left with our record company for sure. So it's just a matter of time. It just depends on when. And, you know, as if anybody out there has families, you know, you got to be very patient with how you decide to manage your time. And as a parent, as a working parent, you know, you got to be careful with that. And I respect it.
I cannot thank you enough for coming on. As long as we've been friends, I've never, ever asked to have you on or interview you or even really, you know, kind of talk about you. So it's real special that you agreed to do this, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking this much time out of your day. I mean, Jamie Lynn Spears is waiting for you. Come on.
And then I woke up from my dream. Yeah. Well, thank you. And thank you both. And of course, Jamie, anytime, you know, it's, I feel very lucky and grateful to have, the life that's happened. And I certainly would love to share my stories anytime you want to hear me yap about them.
All right. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
I love it.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everybody.
About drinking for Christmas. Filling my glass to the top.
Radiothon 2016. Just want you to know that I am listening all the way from Hawaii. In paradise you'll find me. My favorite show is Horses in the Morning. Glenn the Geek and Jamie Jennings make me laugh in the mornings. They asked me to say my fantasy ride today. Latigo Donna, aka Hollywood from LA.
Now, we are very happy to have on the line Martin Clunes. Debbie, take it away.
Oh, hi, Martin. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, thank you. I was miles away.
I'm so glad you're here. Oh, I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here then, really. That was a Weatherbeater commercial, which is very appropriate for the UK. So let me tell a little bit of our American audience who you are, if they don't already know. But you're the UK's most consistently popular television actor, hands down. Yes, you are. And starring in the long-running Doc Martin about a socially challenged doctor. It's not you. In Cornwall, England, Martin and Monty appeared together on Martin's Horsepower, an investigation into man's relationship with horses. So here you go, Monty and Martin.
Hi, Monty. How are you? I'm here, Martin. Can you hear me?
I can perfectly, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How's the family?
We're all grand, thank you. We're all here.
Thank you for the afternoon and birthday party and everything. I hope you got your rope. She has it over there, that's for sure.
Yes, she does. Yeah, I'm not sure whether to arm her with it just yet, but yeah.
Okay.
We got it, but well, thank you so much.
I have to tell the listening audience that wherever I go in the world, my team, anytime there's a controversy of any sort, they say to me, "Now, Monty, settle down. Just think, what would Martin Clunes do?" And you're speaking with the nicest man in the world. This guy is just such a hero for me, and I enjoy every minute that I have with him.
Well, Monty, shucks.
Now tell me how Ronnie and Bruce are.
Oh, they're grand, thank you. They're really well. They're kind of, we haven't had massive rain. We had a couple of days, but we're all right. I'm not in feather panic mode. Usually when it's really muddy, I wash their legs two or three times a week because the feathers get brittle bits of mud and then they snap off and then we're all embarrassed.
Now, for those who don't know, let me jump in there, because my in-laws are named Bruce and Ronnie. We're not talking about them. No, we're talking about Martin's Clydesdales, right?
Yeah.
Two Clydesdales that I had the pleasure to work with when they were babies and then came all the way through with them. And I had the distinct pleasure to watch, I think, Ronnie a few weeks ago.
Oh, no, Bruce.
Bruce in full dressage in their menage there on their property. And it was a sight to see. I couldn't believe how professional this horse looked out there as a Clydesdale, doing maneuvers in the dressage world. It was just great.
We're so proud of him. He's a real trier. I think it's that breed thing. It's what Clydes do, isn't it? They put their head down and get on with whatever challenge you throw at them.
That's true. And they get along with people. It's a good thing that they're so nice, because they're so big. They would not be nice to be around if they were.
No, you wouldn't want to make enemies of them, no.
No, not at all. But I think they have some questions for you, because I just gave them my fantasy ride. I was thrown this morning, and I believe I did the right thing, but they're going to ask you the same question. Maybe Debbie's got that one.
Well, that's right. That's exactly it. We wanted to hear your fantasy ride too, Martin. We just heard Dad's, and it can be any horse, past or present, in any setting. Tell us what it looked like.
Well, okay. Am I allowed two horses? Because that's the fantasy element, is riding both of them.
Well, they're pretty tall. We'll give you two horses. Yeah.
Thank you. Because it's the nice thing about driving them is you get to, you know, relate to two of them. At a time, and I just wish there was a way of just hanging some sort of hammock between the two of them.
I just almost spit out my coffee.
It was so cute.
It's good. I suppose somebody must have tried all this, mustn't they, at some point in history?
I've never heard of that.
I'm sure
there'll be drawings somewhere.
Yeah, in a cave.
Yes, I suppose. Yes, I bet somebody's done it. You know.
Yeah,
Monty, haven't you done it in your stuntman days?
I have actually gone on to a team and gone down in the middle like you see, and then pulled it up so that the girl wouldn't die. And then some actor stepped in and got the girl. But I did it as a teenager a few times. It was not a hammock, I assure you, and it was pretty scary. Martin and I have had some good times, and in the early days of his driving Ronnie and Bruce at my demonstrations, there was some poor lady in a wheelchair that got a real startle when he went whizzing by her at about 2 inches from her wheelchair. And
we left her in it, bro. We left her in it.
We did. Yeah. We did. And it turns out that she was injured in a hunting accident, and was a very good rider in her day. And she was laughing about the whole thing.
Yes, she was. She was tickled, yeah.
Yeah, she was great. And we've had some really good times, and I don't want it to be the end. I just want the listeners to know that I did the only remote control loading that I've ever done with Martin.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a horse that was, I think, 2 years or something. He wouldn't load on a trailer. And I just stepped back and told Martin what I would suggest he did. And he loaded the horse in about 3.5 or 4 minutes. And the owners were aghast. They were just absolutely standing there with their mouths open. And the audience loved it because they always think, oh, that's Monty Roberts and he can do it, but nobody else can. And there was Martin Clunes loading this atrocious horse in no time at all. It was so much fun. It was really fun.
I can't claim any credit for it. Just following instructions, which is, that's how my life goes, Monty. You've met my wife.
Well, that's me, too. That's another world for me.
Martin, I have to ask you, Martin, have Ronnie and Bruce, since they were started right there in the round pen, iconically, on Dad's tour, have they ever appeared on Doc Martin?
No, they haven't. I don't think we've ever had a single horse. Which, yes, we might need to address that.
They need sack cards first. That's true, Jamie.
we have to speak with Martin's wife, Philippa, on that because she sort of runs the show, doesn't she?
She's the boss. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You work together on that. Well, can you? Can they sneak in?
She's the producer. Yeah,
that's true. We have to sneak them in.
You know that. Philippa told me you can get ready to see Doc Martin do an Epley maneuver, which we went over while I was there about how it's helped me with my balance vertigo.
That's right.
And so Doc Martin is supposed to do an Epley maneuver on somebody
in
upcoming episodes.
Stay tuned for the Epley maneuver for Doc Martin.
We're magpies for bits of procedure, medical procedure. Anything we can do and shoehorn it into our program.
Well, in all fairness, Martin, haven't you had people claim that you helped them with their medical needs?
And people have just gone and checked. Yes, there's a couple of people just went back to their GP and said, "Just can you check this lump, please?" Because yes, there was a guy with throat cancer who, thankfully, got it properly diagnosed and was treated and recovered. But he said it was down to us. There was an episode.
Isn't that something?
Saving lives.
Isn't that something? And I can assure you, I'm sure he's not a doctor, really. But
I'm not. But I've got a lot of enthusiasm, which will make up for now.
That's it. Yeah.
You really get to say that. I get to play one on TV. Like the iconic commercial over here. Yeah. And does Philippa ride the horses too? Does she ride the big Clyde?
Oh, yes. She rides dressage is her thing. She's been having that problem of trying to find the right horse for a long time, but he turned up 3 or 4 months ago. His name's Aldo. He's Irish sport, thoroughbred cross, and he's about, how old is Aldo? Nine? He's nine. And he's really nice. He's really nice, and they're getting on so well. So all the misery of the wrong horse keep coming around.
And the two of you would be so interested to hear that Philippa has been on our courses in England and really takes her horsemanship seriously right from the ground up with, you know.
She really does. Yeah, she's a great one for studying it, and she goes off on dressage weekends and things. And this is what she's been missing, but she's back in the swing of it now.
Ah, fun!
Oh,
fun.
That's great.
Are we going to see more horsepower in the future?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I would love it. I'd go on doing it forever, but you kind of have to sneak these things past them because they say no, that's been done now. There's a talk of doing something with the jockey club, the regulating board of the horse racing in England. Mm. And maybe getting a sort of, because that's quite, you know, that all seems to go on behind closed doors. Yes. And I think they're quite ready to.
The two of you should know that Doc Martin and Martin Clunes on the side has been all over the world doing things for animals, including whales and fishes of the sea and the ecology completely, but all around the islands of England, speaking to the issues of the animals. It's just been fantastic what he's done, and I so appreciate
We just did the islands of Australia this year, which was quite a blast. Yeah.
This is sort of your travel, your travel log. You get to do these wonderful trips because you have to go film them, right?
I know. Poor me.
I know. I want that job. I have to be funny, though, and you're too funny, so I can't get that job. People enjoy. I know from the U.S., I wish we had more access to you, but people are starting to get to know you over here, and they will love you like, you know, one of our most endeared actors, I'm sure, because that's the way it is in England. And we're very excited to see more of you over here. And it's so good to hear someone who's a genuine horse person, you know, who really has them in his yard and takes good care of them, loves them. And it comes through on the TV in Horsepower, certainly, Martin. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, we love our horses.
Yeah,
I know you do. And people will love them too. Google Ronnie and Bruce and Martin Clunes, and you'll see the cutest relationship going on with these guys. I don't know. Now, do Ronnie and Bruce, do they get jealous of each other or anything, do you think?
No, they don't, actually. No, they're very different personalities. Bruce is a real worker, and he's as honest as the day long. Ronnie's quite cheeky. So if he sees Bruce being taken off to do something, he's like, well, you know, good, you go do it, I don't care. It's quite bullshit.
you two girls
would really understand when I say that John Forsythe is gone and reincarnated is Martin Clunes.
That's nice.
He's the John Forsythe for me of the world. And I just so admired that man and what he did in all of his work and how he loved his horses.
I did too, Dad. You're absolutely right. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for calling us girls, first of all. Thank you.
Love it.
Love it. You love it, Jamie? Thank you. And thank you to gentlemen for joining us today on Horsemanship
Radio.
It's
my birthday today. I'm 55 today.
And I was going to say, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to do 55 press-ups though, Monty.
Oh.
No, but I just realized that you could be my son, you know. It's amazing.
Hey, my bro, Martin Clunes. Hi.
Well, I'm just one of the girls, so you guys go ahead.
All right. Well,
next
happy
generation.
Birthday. Have a great
Thank you very much. Day. It's great to speak to you all.
And thank you.
Good, Martin. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Take care, Monty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care and
bye,
happy
Debbie.
Birthday.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed this look at the past, Radiothon's past. We really appreciate you joining us. We will be back tomorrow with an endurance episode here with Karen, brand new one, and then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Get your ads in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. We're going to be giving away the soap packages from Heels Down Happy Hour this Friday, and you still have time to enter for that by getting your really bad ad entries into jennifer@horseradionetwork.com by Friday. That's it for today. Thank you, everybody. And don't forget, you can find all of the shows in the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Purina has come back with some brand new episodes, a little different this year, with Lisa Wysocki hosting, telling some cool stories of some cool horses doing amazing things on the Horse Nutrition Podcast. So check out your apps and go find the latest episodes. We just came out with the third episode there of the Horse Nutrition Podcast. You can find them on all of your players, including the Horse Radio Network app. Thanks, everybody. See you again tomorrow.